Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second of our three Advent reflections. I'm Alison Ingram, the Ordinand at St. Mary's in Hanwell, and I'll be leading us through a short time of prayer and scripture before we move into a time of discussion when you can hear from a few people in the St. Mary's community as to their thoughts on what we've all listened to together. We would love to see you at one of the forthcoming Christmas services at St. Mary's, so please do have a look on the website for more details. Given that Advent is such a busy time, we're going to take a moment of peace, still ourselves as we focus our attention on God. So if you're able to, you might like to place both feet on the floor, close your eyes and open your hands, just as a reflection of our openness to hearing from God. So we start with a breath prayer. So as we breathe in, we pray, "You are my light and salvation." And as we exhale, "I am safe in your dwelling." You are my light and salvation. I am safe in your dwelling. And inhale. You are my light and salvation. And exhale, "I am safe in your dwelling." And as we remain in that posture of drawing closer to God, we move to our reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.' Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, 'Cry out.' And I said, 'What shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, 'Here is your God.' See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep." Although we may not wish to recall it, many of us will have had hard times in our lives when we felt hopeless or despairing. It might be a moment when you heard that a loved one was seriously ill, when you were struggling with debt, difficult relationships with family members, perhaps trying to conceive without success, or stuck in a job that made you dread each day. There are many different things that can happen in life that can leave us feeling hopeless. It might have seemed that there was no way out, no light at the end of the tunnel. For the people these words were spoken to, that was exactly where they were. God's people were in exile, and this passage gave words of hope to them, people who had longed for release for years. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." We can see that these people had made mistakes, that they had sinned, just like us, But nonetheless, God comes to them with his comfort and love, making a way before them, a highway in the desert. In that moment, when things seemed so dark and there was no way forward, God offers a path before them, floodlit with his love. God took this step after years of their waiting at just the right moment, in his timing rather than theirs. God didn't leave them, and he will never leave us. He will move and act at the time that is right, never too early and not a second too late. Although this may not be the timetable that we were expecting, he is with us in the waiting, just as he was with these people who were in exile. And like them, he will comfort us. We live in a world that does have moments of pain, and sometimes we will feel hopeless, but we know that in the end, there will be a new heaven and a new earth where God will live with us and there will be no more suffering. As we wait for Christmas in this Advent season, we also wait for the return of Jesus and the renewal of the world. O come, Emmanuel. And as we continue to reflect on what we've heard, we'll hear our reading once more. Please do dwell on any words that strike you as God speaking to you in this moment. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass, their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Now we have a time of silence when we can consider our own thoughts and listen to what God is saying to us. now we turn to a time of prayer. Lord, we thank you that you never leave us. Thank you that you don't move on to the next thing and abandon us. You are Emmanuel. You are with us. We name before you those we know who are going through times of darkness. We think of them and ask, gracious God, that you may bring them light, hope, love, and direction. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Thank you that you see all that your children go through. Thank you that no tear is shed that you don't see. And thank you that you are a just God. May your people know that they are not forgotten. Bring comfort and strength. Father, we ask that you would bring peace to those places around the world where there is much suffering and people cry out to you. Let them know that the Emmanuel is with them. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Wonderful Counselor, we ask for your guidance at this time. Help us to take the right paths and the correct decisions. Lord, be our guide. And even when we take a wrong turning, help us to trust that you're with us, healing, restoring, and forgiving. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, I receive your love with joy. I welcome you here, God. You are good and you're worthy to be praised. You wrap me in arms of grace. You smile on me. I am yours and you are here. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Saviour, my hope, and my friend. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. This time of reflection has enabled you to spend some time with God. And in this season when we are so busy, we would love it if you would stay with us for our discussion, which follows now. You'll hear a few people from St. Mary's talking about the reflection that you've just heard and thinking about what that means for each of them. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of our three in this Advent season. We are in festive mood with mulled wine and also mince pies, which we're very much enjoying as we chat. I'm here with Andrew and Adam and Kate that you met the last time, and also with Susie, who's going to say hello.
Hi, everyone.
Thanks, Susie. So as before, we're going to spend some time just going through some questions that will help us unpack the passage that we've heard a little bit and talk about what it means for each of us and what we might do differently in future. So just as a starter for 10, we're going to think about what makes us impatient. I am one of the most impatient people that I know. So we're just going to hear from the others to hear about what might make them impatient. So, Adam, can I start with you?
Because I work in a high school, whenever I tell anyone I work in a high school, they say, well, you must have a patience of a saint. and it's not true. But that said, since reading at our book group earlier on this year, the Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, it used to be rushing around and, you know, wanting to... people being in my way was the thing that made me very impatient. And what John Mark Comer says is, you know, use those moments to be a bit prayerful and just enjoy those moments rather than find them as something which is problematic.
I mean, I completely agree with the sentiment. I find that very difficult too. I wish I was better at it.
I'm not saying I've achieved it.
But yes, I agree with you. That those, when someone's in your way and you're in a rush, there is nothing more frustrating. It's very aggravating. Okay, thank you, Adam. That's great. Kate, what about you?
Well, mine's school related as well, obviously. Mine's more about silly questions. When you've literally just explained something to a child and you stand there and you say, does anyone have any questions? And they ask you the thing you've literally just said as if it never happened. It's terribly frustrating. So, deep breaths are coming in handy there and prayerful
reflection. Husbands do that as well, don't they?
Yes, I don't know what to say, but yes.
Excellent. And Andrew?
Yeah, I think I've been nominated by my wife to confess my sins on this. I find being late is the thing that gets me really riled and impatient. And by being late, what I mean is not being early, because being early is being on time.
I can relate to that.
And being on time is late in my book. And so, yeah, sometimes when perhaps small children don't quite understand that shoes on time is shoes on time, I might get a little impatient at those moments.
Yes, I think this is one of the things that I'm learning, that I need to leave earlier to get here on time. And I've heard this from Andrew before. I need to be careful about my timekeeping.
No, she's good, for the record. Alison is good.
So we're going to move on to our next question now. And this passage kind of opens up some thoughts for us about when things seem really difficult. So it's good for us just to acknowledge that things can be really tough in life and think about the kinds of circumstances that might make us feel hopeless. And that might be for ourselves, or it might be other people that we know. So Kate, perhaps I can come to you first in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. This one really resonates with me because it's what's brought me here, actually. Last couple of years have been really rough. We lost my mum. She died of cancer. So the lead up to that, and obviously everything since, has been hard. But I think what's been really helpful in all of this is just the light at the end of the tunnel that's come from my journey to faith. And I don't think I would have got through it in such a productive way as I have done if it hadn't been for God and for finding him and for him finding me. Because, you know, it was rough. And I think, you know, just having that faith all the way through has made it much, much easier to deal with. So, yeah, I mean, it's hope in a hopeless situation.
Mm. Okay, thank you for sharing that with us. I think that kind of constancy that faith can provide, that light, in that time when it was so tough for you, it's really important to recognise that.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for sharing that. Adam?
It's funny because I think I also found faith through being hopeless and feeling a sense of despair. And I think mine was more on a kind of macro level of sort of just despair at the world and despair at our political leaders being out of touch and just, you know, having no sense about the future being bright in any way. And I think since finding faith, there's been much more of a sense of, as you said, the light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, it's spiritual renewal. It's knowing that there is, you know, that maybe the material world is crumbling a bit, but maybe obviously that provides an opportunity for something else and a revival perhaps, and that's certainly where what I'm thinking about now.
Yeah, and I think those two things provide really good contrast with one another. So the kind of personal, really intimate relationship that resulted in that situation where you felt hopeless because of the circumstances, but then on the wider scale, looking around the world, just thinking about all the things that aren't quite right.
Yeah, we were right there at that time.
Also have that impact. So the two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
brilliant. Thank you. And Andrew.
Yeah, and I'll probably go somewhere in the middle of. I think sometimes it can be seasonal. I think for me, sometimes it can be easy to feel overwhelmed. There's so much going on. And we're trying to do so many things. And, you know, sometimes you get up and you think, oh, gosh, I just have to get through the rest of today. Or, you know, the end of this week. And sometimes it's when you feel that, you realise that it's not just the end of the day of the week. It's like, okay, if we can just get to the end of this season. And thankfully, it can be mostly seasonal. But there are definitely times I think it often comes down to taking on more than we're perhaps supposed to, or not kind of keeping on top of our relationship with God in quite the same way. But I think it can be sometimes in quite subtle ways as well.
Yeah, completely. And I think for me, certainly returning to studying and getting into that rhythm of sort of terms and assignment deadlines, etc., that is very much, it's that rhythm of like, there can be moments when things seem really, really difficult, but then it kind of moves on again. So it's, yeah, I totally get that seasonal aspect of it as well. So the next question we got, we've touched on a bit already, but where can we find signs of God's comfort in those times of difficulty? So, you know, where do we look for him? Where can we see him at work? So, Adam, can I start with you?
In terms of where I find comfort and where I find a sense of God, I mean, this passage obviously very much reminds me of the Psalms, and it gives me a sense of the, you know, the way you can trust in God and the beauty of His Word, and I think that that is something which often I kind of turn to. Well, I turn to all the time, and certainly, yeah. I mean, that's a daily comfort as well as one that I go to in times of difficulty.
Yeah, and it. Knowing that that's there all the time and accessible, because the joy of having it on our phones, right? We can access scripture any moment, any time. It's there. And I think especially for me, some of the verses that I learned as a child, you know, memory verses as they were at the time, that stick in your mind and you can just pull them out when you need that. Really, really helpful. And just that foundation is really useful to have. Kate, what about you?
I mean, a similar sort of thing, really. Obviously, scripture is the main source of comfort for me. And what I found really amazing was that it was the same kinds of things that were coming up in different places. So it literally felt like being spoken to. And it was so subtle. And it took a while to even really kind of hear the voice, if it makes sense. Because, you know, it felt like coincidence. It felt like, oh, you know, there must be a reason. Perhaps, you know, they're using the same, you know, passages in various different places. But it, you know, just being able to see it in motion and it happens so frequently and so often in different contexts, that was amazing for me. Yeah, really, really inspiring.
Yeah, it's interesting how, you know, when God speaks, sometimes you see this thread, like a theme running through things, and you might not notice it straight away, but then two or three times you're like, oh, this is like the same thing that's being said to me over and over again. I need to actually dig into that and listen to it a bit more. Yeah. Brilliant, thank you. Susie?
So kind of tying those two together, that sense of scripture and that sense of repetition, is sort of seeking comfort in those around us, sharing the situations we're in, but also sitting with that sense of what is good in the middle of the challenge, focusing, what can I be thankful for right now? And actually, one of my situations recently, I felt like God kept saying in multiple different places through lots of different people, focus on what you're grateful for. What are the good things that are going on right now? And name them. Mm. Declare those good things, naming them and holding on to the good stuff that's going on, even though everything feels really challenging.
Yeah, and I think that sense of perspective is really important, isn't it? That if there's something really difficult happening in our lives, there's a tendency, for me anyway, to almost get consumed by that, and you lose that kind of perspective. You get a bit skewed in looking at the thing that's not working, and you can forget easily all the other things that are really fantastic. And it can just shift your mindset if you think about what you're grateful for, the blessings you've got, what God's given you. It really changes how you approach things in that posture. Thanks, Susie. Okay, so we're on to our final question already. So we're just thinking about what is our main takeaway from this passage. So the thing that really spoke to us that we think we might take forward into the next few weeks as we approach Christmas in a season of waiting and looking for God. So what would our main takeaway be? Kate, can I come to you first?
Yeah, absolutely. The passage that stood out for me was the bit that says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. And that sense of something being constant in a difficult or chaotic time was really important for me. And also, when you're faced with challenge, just trying to think, well, what can I learn from this? What can I take from this? Because there's always a reason. There's always some kind of design that you might not necessarily see, but there's something at play, and you just have that trust that something hopeful is coming, and you just have to wait for it.
So you know God's there, you know He's at work, and He's going to be consistent in all of it. Yeah, amazing. Thank you, Adam.
The standout verse, the standout line for me is, "He will gather the lambs in His arms," and it's such a beautiful image, and obviously, talking about threads that you keep seeing return to throughout the Bible, you know, the image of God the Father holding His children, and as I say, it's just such a lovely image.
Yeah, and it's that tender fatherly love, right? He's like scooping us up and just holding on to us and looking after us. It's so is that sense of closeness with God is really important, and that we're being looked after. We're like under his wing. Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you. Susie.
So for me, it's the second half of verse 9, which says, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God.
Mm.
Just that sense of whatever we're going through, looking for those places where God's already at work, naming them, telling the stories, and declaring that God is already at work, and we just need to notice it.
Yeah. Mm. That's true. And I think especially this time of year, right, in the busyness, like I know for myself, I'm just like, there's constantly things that I haven't done that I need to do. The list keeps growing. Stopping, actually looking around, like, where is God in this, is perhaps not something I'm doing often enough. So this is a really good reminder to do that, just to lift our eyes and really seek him out in what's happening around us.
Mm.
Thank you. Andrew?
I guess for me, everyone has been at the other end of the passage. It's the bit from the beginning that actually, if you've heard our Sunday teaching for this week, you'll recognise, because it's words that John the Baptist uses and the reply to John the Baptist at the beginning of Mark's Gospel, as this voice that cries out in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And I think it's that reminder that we're all that work in progress, that discipleship is this ongoing process that we're... It's a, like John the Baptist comes to say, you need to get ready because God's going to do something new. There's going to be new revelation in Jesus, and that means it's that makes a difference, and you've got to act differently as a result. And so for me, it's that reminder that Advent, we were talking before we start recording, that these seasons of church life are a really great opportunity for us to refocus on how am I growing? And as you said, like in all the busyness of Advent, Advent's a season we just get caught up in the tinsel and the turkey and the mince pies, and because there's so many other pressures. Like Lent is much easier somehow.
Yeah.
Far less distraction and chocolate at the end of it, perhaps. But yeah, for me, it's that constant reminder of discipleship's always something. We're always getting ourselves ready for Jesus. And that reminder that, you know, he's going to come back.
Yeah.
And I want to be as ready as I can be to meet him when he does. Mm. So yeah, that's what stood out for me.
Definitely. I think this is the thing, that when we know Jesus is coming back, we want to be in a position to say, yeah, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm open, I'm here. Not to be distracted by kind of like, oh, I forgot to buy so-and-so a present and being worried about that. You know, there's other things that we can be focused on. So that's all really helpful. I think really useful for me, just digging into this passage a bit more and thinking about different perspectives and what we can all take from it. And I hope that everybody listening has been able to engage with what we've discussed, and perhaps one of the perspectives that we've shared has really spoken to you. So I would encourage you all just to look over the words one more time, perhaps pray into it and see what God is saying to you at this time through this passage. So we're going to finish this episode with a time of prayer. Andrew's going to lead us on that. But please do join us for our next and final episode next week. Thanks, Andrew.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a constant present in our lives. Lord, when things are great, but also particularly when things are difficult, you are there and you speak words of comfort over us again and again and again. We thank you, Lord, that we've been able to share, as we've recorded, that those times where we felt you close. We thank you, Lord, for knowing that we can look for you in all circumstances, that we will be gathered like those lambs in your arms, that we can always be making ourselves ready. And thank you, Lord, for that gift of Scripture, of that place of deep comfort, that bedrock in our lives. Lord, I pray for anybody who is listening to this who needs to hear these words of comfort, and Lord, that they might know that you are with them. Amen.